Good morning. I am your instructor for the morning. I'm Lieutenant Robert Graham of the Jackson Police Department, and I'd like to talk for an hour. I'm going to move pretty quickly regarding a subject that's very near and dear to my heart. The subject is called Officer Down. For over 35 years, I spent in the dispatch center as a dispatcher. I'm a little bit unusual, a type of police officer. But the reason why I'm kind of unusual is because every time the chief would put me on the street, I would mess up bad enough for him to put me back in dispatch. So I love dispatchers. I have a passion for dispatchers. I am a dispatcher yesterday. I'm a dispatcher tomorrow. I'm going to be a dispatcher forever. I'm not a salesman. I'm not here trying to sell you but one particular thing, and that's going to be service. Service to our officers, because sometimes there's justice and sometimes there is just us. I've worked as a call taker, NCIC operator, dispatcher, supervisor, assistant supervisor. I work for about 5 different dispatch companies. The company that's putting this presentation on today is called Professional Dispatch Management 911. We have cards in the back. This is a 2-day class that we teach called Officer Down and Stress Management for Dispatchers. I'm going to do it in 1 hour, because that's what dispatchers do. We can do everything quickly, and we can do it on time, and we can do it together. I come from the city of Jackson. We have 192,000 people, 104 square miles, 500 police officers, 100 reserve officers, a General Electric Ericsson radio system that does not work. We have a Cisco computer-aided system, dispatch system that does not work. If you feel my pain, you know what it is to have a political computer system. We have an AvilTech vehicle identification system that the police officers absolutely hate, because we can tell where the police officers are at all times. We can tell if they're driving fast. We can tell if they're driving slow. If they go somewhere and hide, we can tell if they're over here hiding. And that's one of the systems that we have. We have an audio log dispatch recording system. Our dispatchers are poorly paid. We make only about $900 a month. Our police officers make about $30,000 a year. We have take approximately 2,500 calls a day. Of those 2,500 calls we take, only about 900 are 911 calls, and about only a third of those are actually 911 or emergency-type calls. We've had 11 officers killed in the line of duty. We've had 5 police officers to commit suicide. We had 5 police officers to commit suicide last year. What a dispatcher needs to know. That's what I'm here to talk to you about. What a dispatcher needs to know is there is no such thing as a routine call. Dispatchers need to know there are no such thing. There's nothing such as a routine dispatch. There are no routine traffic stops. There's no routine, nothing routine about police work. Eliminate the word routine. When an officer is out of the vehicle, the way that we train our dispatchers now, regardless of the call that the officer is on, it is an emergency. Eliminate the word routine. Shots fired, yelled the hesitant dispatcher. There are thousands of things going on at one time, and then launches the chaos. Officers asking questions, citizens calling, the news media setting up live trucks, friends wondering, is this the officer that I know? The department chaplain is speculating, do I go to the scene? Do I call his wife? What do I do? Wives and husbands are at home praying, praying not to receive that crisp folded flag. The chief is calling the mayor. The mayor is calling the chief. We have an officer down. Someone's hurt. The mayor is calling back to the chief. Some dispatchers crying. Other dispatchers not knowing what to do. The sergeant is concerned. The sergeant is very, very concerned. Does he have children? Other departments are calling, wondering, has the officer been identified yet? The emergency medical dispatcher comes over the radio and says, and everyone in this room knows what this means, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Internal Affairs is hovering over to see if there's any policies that have been broken. And moreover, the console dispatcher, who is presently there, distraught, mind racing, did I forget something? Did I forget to send him a backup? Did I miss a red flag? Seconds become hours when there is no one there to stop the bleeding. Chances are the officer never saw it coming. Chances are the officer doesn't know who the individual or the suspect is. Now, to anticipate the consequences, the red-eyed dispatch supervisor gets up out of his dispatch chair, leans over to one side of the chair, and makes this statement. 15 years ago, I was the red-eyed dispatch supervisor. And this is the statement I had to make. Once I made that statement, I decided that I was going to dedicate the rest of my career, if not my life, on training dispatchers, 911 operators, on what to do, on how you feel, how you should feel. When you hear those words, dispatch, we have an officer down. And then came the hardest dispatch. That I've ever had to put out.
Attention all police units and stations. Dispatch authority M1 and Police 1. Police Officer Bobby Biggard is deceased. Houston stations, we have no additional information at the present time. Repeating information came from Police 1 and M1. Police Officer Bobby Biggard is deceased. As soon as this station gets any additional information regarding anything else, we'll advise all units.
You could hear the stress in my voice. I never want to be on the console again when I hear those fateful words or unfateful words, dispatch, we have an officer down. It will change your career. It will change your life. Because from that particular moment on, everything happens in a flash. We have an officer down. Every year, there are officers killed. One police officer dies every 53 hours. That means from the time that this class has started until the time that this class ends, one police officer has died. And you can do something about it. We can do something about it. Three officers died last week. Texas has more police officers to die than any other state. We are here in the state of Texas. 1,731 police officers have died in the state of Texas. I never want to be on the console again when we hear we have an officer down. Approximately 170 officers will die every year. 6,000, one of 6,000 officers will die. Every 53 hours, a police officer dies. Between the hours of 10 and 12. And we can do something about it. We can be there for that officer. We have to be there for that officer.
Weren't afraid to face the devil.
98 police officers have died this year. 8 of them in the state of Texas. 108 officers in Houston, Texas alone. The average age of an officer losing his life. wife is 37 years to 40 years of age.
Go to heaven.
The average tour of duty is 12 years. The officer needs an advantage.
Oh, how we cried.
Make no mistake about it. The advantage, people in this room, it's not the jailer. It's not the motorcycle officer. It's not the records clerk. It's not the police chief. It is the people in this room.
When they hear your sweet,
you will make the difference.
Go rest high on the ground. Son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven.
We have to do something. We have to be the eyes and the ears of that police officer. Over 56,000 police officers assaulted every year. There's over 870,000 police officers. As I told you, anywhere from 165 to 170 are killed every year. One out of every 6,000 officers die. The state of Texas has had more officers to die than any other particular state. The state of Vermont has had the fewest. The city of New York has had the most because of 9/11. They need an advantage. That advantage has to be the people in this room. What type of officers need us? What are the officers? Who are these officers? Does this officer work for you? This officer has been described as being friendly, well-liked by the police officers, also well-liked by the dispatchers. He would be the officer more likely to go to Wendy's and get you a hamburger and bring it back to the dispatch center without arguing. That is the officer. He's hard-working. He thinks of himself more as a public relations type of officer. He doesn't use force all the time that he feels like that he should. But he also doesn't always follow all of the rules. These are the officers that are killed and hurt in the line of duty. But let me surprise you. This guy, the rookie officer, almost always seems to make it. Why is that? Why is it that the rookie officer always seems to make it? Because he's fresh out of the academy, he's going to follow the rules, he's going to follow all the regulations, policies, and procedures. He always seems to make it. But every police department, sheriff's department, highway patrol that's here today, has this guy working for him. This is the guy that needs us. This is the guy right here that needs our help. The veteran officer. Officers killed in the line of duty have anywhere from 10 to 12 years of experience. They need us. Chances are dispatchers have never been on the console when an officer is called and said that he needs help. He needs a backup. He's down. 5 out of 10 dispatchers say they wouldn't know what to do. 95% of all the calls are going to come in over the radio. You have to be there. The police officers need an advantage. That advantage has to be you. Officers are dying every day.
It's turning out to be a deadly year for police. So tonight we begin a series we call Officer Down. With more than a month to go in this year, 170 law enforcement officers have died in the line of duty. That is well above the toll for all of 2006. Indeed, it's one of the worst tolls in decades. Our senior Justice Department correspondent, Pierre Thomas, reports more and more of the police killings are cold-blooded.
May 11th, Franconia, New Hampshire. A suspect flees a routine traffic stop. Officer Bruce McKay follows in hot pursuit. As McKay corners the suspect, his squad car camera captures it all. But then, after being maced, the suspect, whom Officer McKay had a run-in with before, unexpectedly opens fire. fatally wounding McKay before running him over. In 2007, officers are dying at an alarming rate. There has been a 38% increase in the fatal shootings of police this year. There has been a 15% jump in fatal car crashes as police pursue suspects or race to get to emergencies.
Other than the year 9/11, we haven't seen numbers this high since 1978, 30 years ago.
Police say the spike in fatalities mirrors the surge in crime many communities across the nation are facing, much of it spurred by heavily armed gangs and repeat offenders.
What concerns police most is that they're encountering on routine patrols violent offenders who often shoot to kill with no provocation.
There's definitely a more brazen, cold-blooded criminal on the streets of America today.
Sometimes the killers are just teenagers. Last June, officers Frank Denzinger and Joel White came to this home in Floyd County, Indiana, to investigate a domestic dispute between a 15-year-old boy and his mother. Then, without warning, Officer White radios for help.
I'm down. I can't move. Another officer. He's down. I'm not sure his status. Subject's in the house with a rifle. Choose caution on approach. He shot us both from inside the house. He might be coming back to finish us off.
Officer White doesn't know it, but Denzinger is lying nearby, unconscious, dying.
My leg is destroyed. I can't move.
Stay with us. We do have help on the way.
Officer Denzinger dies. The teenager commits suicide. Officer White is recuperating from his injuries, but wants to return to patrol.
I love the job, and it means a lot to me because it's my way to serve the community, and that's why I got into it in the first place.
This year, many officers were not so fortunate.
Officers killed in the line of duty. Officers dying every day. The police officer needs an advantage. That advantage has to be you, because officers are making deadly mistakes every day. The advantage has to be the dispatcher. Officers making fatal assumptions. Officers taking risk without making sure that those risks are not going to be involved with them losing their life. Officers getting lazy, not exercising, forgetting to do what they're supposed to do and train. Officers wanting to get their pictures in the paper, wanting to be cowboys and cowgirls. Officers wanting to be macho. It's called tombstone courage. I will go it alone, dispatch. I don't need a backup. The officers not sweating the details. Officers say real men don't hide. Officers making the fatal assumption. Officers never backing down. And waiting and studying is for kids, and waiting is for wimps. Does this officer work for you? This is the officer that's going to lose his life. I took a call. I was on the console when an officer took a prowler call. Can this happen at your department? Unit 1, go ahead, Unit 1. Unit 1, respond to a report of a prowler 100 block of Jones Street. Unit 1, 10-4. Unit 2, back him up. Unit 2, 10-4. Unit 3, the supervisor. Unit 3, have both of those officers disregard. I'm the supervisor. I will handle the call. Unit 3, 10-4, I have Unit 1 and Unit 2 going. 10-4, dispatcher, did you copy what I said? 10-4, Unit 3, the lady calls back. The man's trying to get in. He's trying to break into my window. He's trying to come through my house. I get back on the radio. Unit 1, Unit 2, start responding to Unit 3's location to back him up. The lady just returned a call and said that the subject's still trying to get in. Unit 3 to dispatch. Didn't I tell you, dispatcher, that I did not need a backup? Do not send me a backup, dispatcher. 10-4, Unit 3. 10-4, Unit 1, Unit 2, disregard. It was the last words that Unit 3 ever spoke. The man took his gun and shot him 6 times. That day, I was the advantage. Can this happen at your department, where a supervisor can disregard a backup? The officers need an advantage. That advantage has to be you. The 911 dispatcher. the person on the console, the person holding the keys to the gate, officers under attack. Officers need a dispatcher who can dispatch. And for the dispatchers in this room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We need a dispatcher that can dispatch because officers are under attack.
Since the beginning of this month, 14 law enforcement officers have been killed in the line of duty, half of them after being assaulted. It is a deadly start to the year. Now, Ainsley Earhart reports on police officers under attack, but we do need to warn you that this piece contains some very graphic images and should not be viewed by children.
Down, 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 hands, hands!
Across America, the streets are safer. Despite a deep recession, violent crime is down from coast to coast. Yet the very people charged with keeping us safe are coming under attack themselves. Forty-eight police officers were killed by gunfire in 2009, compared to 39 in 2008, a 23% increase. Most alarmingly, there were five incidents in 2009 where just one assailant gunned down multiple officers, killing 15 in all. March, Oakland, California. Four officers are killed by a violent parolee after he is pulled over. April, three officers ambushed and killed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and two sheriff's deputies are shot and killed in Okaloosa County, Florida. July, Seminole County, Oklahoma. One man kills two sheriff's deputies. And November, Lakewood, Washington. Four officers are ambushed and murdered in a coffee shop before they even start their shifts. The 15 officers killed in these multiple death shootings were the most of any year since 1981.
When you have five separate incidents in the United States where multiple officers are murdered, even when the officer is down and severely wounded, they don't stop. They move toward the officer because they want to put a bullet in their head. That tells me that violence is on an uptick. These suspects don't care, and people need to be worried about that.
People need to be worried. The dispatcher is the advantage. The officer needs help. Officers are dying for all kinds of reasons. Being struck by vehicle, being struck by lightning, a police officer in Florida struck by lightning, officers shooting themselves in the arms, in the legs, in the knees, in the buttocks, officers shooting other officers. The officer needs an advantage. Police officers dying at their own hands. Police officers dying. Police officers stung by a bee. Officers killed in the line of duty. The officer needs an advantage. That advantage has to be you, the 911 dispatcher. After the officer that responds to the call, you are the most important person in the police department, and you must always view yourself as that person. One of the most horrendous situations I've ever heard of. St. Tammany Parish, Louisiana. A police officer killed in the line of duty. Another police officer and a dispatcher going to his funeral. A drunk driver comes out of nowhere, sideswipes the officer's vehicle, kills the officer, and paralyzes the dispatcher for life. We never know dispatchers. It could even happen on going to a funeral. The dispatcher had to resign. She came back to the dispatch center. She said, "I can't face the radio." Traffic accidents are another reason why officers need you. More traffic accidents happen on Friday between the hours of 3 and 6. Now people are running over police officers as they're directing traffic. As they're doing everything, police officers are being hurt. They need an advantage. Most of the time, the individuals are intoxicated and or speeding. The officers are struck by vehicles. People having a total disregard for traffic. Dispatchers may have to rethink accidents and traffic accidents. If you are here and you are a dispatcher, you need a policy and procedure manual. You need a policy about a policy and a policy what to do if that policy doesn't work. Because if an officer is killed in the line of duty, one of the first things that happen is misplaced anger, misplaced emotions. Sometimes that emotion's going to be directed at you. So you need something to back you up. I can't tell you the number of police departments I go in over the United States where people go, we do it this way because we've always done it that way. The officer needs an advantage. The advantage has to be the people in this room. The officer's vest will stop a Toyota. Will stop a bullet. But it will not stop a Toyota. We have to rethink how we do traffic accidents. More officers are now being killed on traffic accidents than domestic violence calls on a traffic accident. The officer needs you.
When we think of a law enforcement officer being killed, the first picture that comes to mind is one of an officer dying as a result of being attacked with a firearm. The threat of being shot is usually the foremost concern of most officers when it comes to officer safety. There is, however, another danger to officers in the line of duty. The danger of being struck by a passing vehicle.
Each year, a growing number of officers are involved in injury crashes. Unfortunately, some of these officers do not survive. I'm Sergeant Chris Wood of the Ohio State Highway Patrol. On March 28, 2002, I arrived on scene to assist a fellow officer with a crash investigation which took place on the berm of an interstate on-ramp. As I approached the other cruiser, an out-of-control vehicle veered towards and struck both cruisers. As you will see, all involved are fortunate to survive. The protective vests we wear may stop a bullet from a gun, but they will not stop vehicular bullets that approach us while performing our duties. We are trained to watch the actions of violators. However, we must constantly be aware of the dangers from passing motorists. When possible, I encourage all officers to use reflective gear while out of their vehicles. In addition, officers should attempt to initiate traffic stops away from curves, hill crests, and obscure locations. I received a second chance. I hope you take the necessary precautions to ensure your safety, because you may not be as lucky as I was.
What a dispatcher needs to know is that we're going to have to start rethinking the way we do traffic accidents. We're going to have to start the rethinking about the way that we assign a backup. You have to be able to recognize trouble in advance as a dispatcher. Police officers losing their lives for all kinds of reasons. Police officers committing suicide. More police officers committing suicide every day. A police officer committed suicide because he found out he had diabetes. Police officers high on steroids. There's an article back on the table, and I suggest each and every one of you read this article or look it up on the internet. It's called Juiced in Blue. It's regarding the increase of steroids that have infiltrated the police departments and dispatch centers. There was one dispatch center where a police dispatcher attempted to poison another dispatcher. I know you want to do it sometimes, but you cannot do that. A dispatch center in Wisconsin where police dispatchers were caught on the midnight shift drinking beer, smoking marijuana, and dancing on top of the console. You cannot do that. An officer needs an advantage. That advantage has to be you. When it comes to officers losing their life in the line of duty. I'll say it again. When you go back to your area, the officer may not tell you, but they need you. They need you to hear them when they call for help.
And it's hard at the end.
They need for you to recognize their voice.
Need some distraction.
They need for you to recognize a red flag.
Memories seep from my veins that may be empty. I'm weightless and maybe I'll find some peace tonight. In the arms of the angel, fly away from here.
The average police funeral costs $25,000. Immediately, the wife becomes a widow and the children become an orphan. When an officer is killed in the line of duty, his family receives $311,810. The common fear is that we will forget about them. And in a lot of departments, they do. We must never forget as dispatchers. The new practice is for every dispatch center to have a flag in the dispatch center.
So tied up in the straight line.
At least one officer needs to have a flag in his patrol car. Because when they're killed in the line of duty, they die as heroes, not in black bags.
Keep on building lies.
Only 73% of the departments in the United States will pay for the funeral.
Don't make no difference.
Lakewood, Florida. Excuse me, Washington.
It's easier to believe.
Just drinking coffee.
In this sweet madness.
There is no such word as routine. Be there for that officer. Dispatching is not just a job. Dispatching is a calling. The officers misplaced emotions, not knowing what to do. An officer needs revenge. It is very, very stressful. It is stressful anytime you walk in the dispatch center. We do an 8-hour class called Stress Management for Dispatchers. The stress even starts before you get to the dispatch center. If an officer is shot or killed in the line of duty, the stress increases times 10. It has often been said that when a dispatcher comes to work, they are under as much stress as the officers. If you go to the Fair Labor Standard website, you will find out that they compare a dispatcher to the same level as a soldier going into battle. And I know that some of you feel like that when you get into your dispatch center. As a soldier going into battle. Sometimes it's even dangerous for the dispatchers. Last year, 3 dispatchers committed suicide. 1 dispatcher was killed by the police chief inside the dispatch center. The officers need an advantage. The officers need advantage from you, the dispatcher, when it comes to crystal meth, a poor man's drug. The officers are fighting these individuals. Crystal meth. This is what I want dispatchers to know. I want dispatchers to know that lab animals given levers to the press which put crystal meth in their bloodstreams. The animals utilize the levers rather than eating, mating, or satisfying any other natural drive. The lab animals died of starvation while giving themselves meth even though sufficient food was available. What a dispatcher needs to know is that if you're dispatching an officer to a crystal meth call, the officer needs an advantage. He needs for you to be alert. He needs for you to be there. He needs you to be on your game. Crystal meth. Dispatchers. Crystal meth. Dispatchers. Crystal meth. Strawberry meth, mobile meth, hotel meth, crystal meth. Crystal meth. Crystal meth. And crystal meth. The officer needs an advantage. That advantage has to be you. Because not only are they having to deal with crystal meth, they're dealing with sugar and spice and everything nice. A new drug called spice that's hit the street. And something called purple drink. Purple drink was originated in Houston, Texas by rap groups. Codeine and promethazine. Crystal meth. Purple drink. The officer needs every advantage that he can get. They're mixing this with Jolly Ranchers. The method. Crystal meth. Purple drink. Syrup. They've made songs about it. Spice. Synthetic marijuana. So potent to where if you stand up quickly, you will fall down. The officer needs an advantage. The street names. The officer needs an advantage. Guns. Weapons. The officer needs an advantage. You can purchase this on the internet. Can you hear me now? A cell phone gun. The officer needs the dispatcher to know. A gun used in Iraq that shoots around the corner. You can purchase it on the internet for $3,000. It shoots around the corner. The officer will never see it coming. The officer needs an advantage. And as most of you have seen this particular video,
as this student's appearance demonstrates, having a lax policy about dress makes it easy for a student to conceal a weapon and makes it difficult to identify intruders on campus. A dress code can reduce weapons violations, relieve tensions between gangs, reduce disciplinary infractions, and generally improve the atmosphere of the school. Our policy requires that students tuck in their shirts, making the belt line visible at all times. Our students may not wear baggy pants or colors and insignias that are commonly associated with gang activity. This policy was a collaborative effort between the parents, teachers, and administrators in this community.
The guns where officers are being killed with. We went to a class that dispatchers have to go to, and we also now take our dispatchers and train them on the pistol range how to recognize automatic gunfire. The Justice Department put on a gun interdiction class and it told us where all the guns are coming from. And I was shocked. Because the guns that are coming from different places that are killing police officers. This is Mississippi. We have a gun show every week. The officer needs an advantage. And in addition to that advantage, it gets worse, ladies and gentlemen. It gets much worse. The officer needs you.
Hey, I'm Drake with Magpul, and I'm going to show you guys at FMG 9 today. This is a prototype that we're working on right now. It's just a concept idea. This isn't something that we're going to produce, have any plans to, but just wanted to bring it out and show some guys what we're capable of doing. Appears in all of its thin in profile. Looks like a flashlight. Walk your dog, take the garbage out, get the mail. If you any problems occur, anything you need immediate action with, can get on target and go with it. It's a folding machine gun. Very transformer-esque. Fold back up. Back into place, ready to go again. Pretty slick little setup. Uses standard Glock receiver upper. We just manufactured this just ourselves in the rapid prototype form where it's got an upper receiver for the Glock. Also takes Glock magazines. And you fold this up and collapse it all the way down. You can open this back end up. You can see your loaded magazine in here. Also allows for an area in here to have an auto sear. So you can remove all this off of the rail. Hand guards, flashlight comes off. Folds up into a little tight, compact package. Big enough to put in your back pocket. Fits right in there. You go for your walk. Gets nasty, get down to business.
The police officers will never see it coming. They need an advantage. That advantage has to be you. The officer needs advantage on traffic stops. We must now think of how we do traffic stops. On traffic stops, you need to have a unit contact time, and an officer needs to know what that unit contact time is. In pursuits, a lot of particular police departments now where police officers or dispatchers or officers are involved in pursuits, a lot of departments now have no pursuit policies. We are not even allowed to say the word pursuit on the radio. We must say that an officer is following a vehicle at a safe distance at a normal rate of speed, which means he's in pursuit. We cannot say the word gang on our radio because our administration does not want us to think that we have gang activity in our city. We must say on the corner of Smith and Jones Street, there are several individuals who band together for the purpose of creating criminal activity. The officer needs an advantage. So what are some of the dispatching tips? Some of the dispatching tips are you need a status check. It needs to be in writing. It needs to be a part of the policy. I hear 3 minutes. I hear 5 minutes. I have 7 minutes. I have 8 minutes. I even hear no minutes. I even hear we don't check on our officers. They don't call us. We don't call them. You need to make sure that there's always a verbal acknowledgement. When an officer is out of the vehicle, when an officer is getting back in the vehicle, make sure, positively sure, that there's a verbal acknowledgement. You must develop a procedure for restricting airspace during an emergency. It needs to be in a policy. It needs to be written. It does not need to be put in a binder and say we do it that way because the dispatcher that's been here for 30 years said we did it that way. You need to make sure that you put out immediate attempts to locate and BOLOs. You need to make sure you pass on information to the oncoming shift, to the oncoming fire department. We had 4 firemen killed in one day inside the fire station by an individual who walked in and thought he was Rambo. You must avoid telling officers to stand by. When an officer is killed in the line of duty, there are 50 things that must be done. This is just a short sampling of what needs to be done. The aftermath, if an officer is killed in the line of duty, uncontrollable emotion, the empty feeling coming from the officers and from dispatcher, anger over the radio. Sometimes the anger is going to be sent toward you. Sometimes the finger is going to be pointed toward you. Blame. When an officer is killed in the line of duty, there's always someone that has to be blamed. If the suspect is dead, we have to blame someone. Sometimes we blame you. If we can find out anything that you did or did not do. To the dispatcher. If you're on the console with an officer shot and killed in the line of duty, you may receive or you might feel chills, sweats, anger, fear, overreacting, high blood pressure, feeling of isolation. Everyone moved away from me as if I had a disease. No one wanted to talk to me. They thought that I had messed up. I felt chills. I felt anger. I started sweating. I had an uncontrollable urge to cry as a man. I'm telling you this because I want to make sure you know what happens when an officer is down. We tell the dispatchers, do not consume any alcohol or drug that's not prescribed. Do only talk to people that you trust. Do not make any written statements unless you're ordered to by the chief. Consult an attorney. You may have to or discuss anything that happened on the tape line. The tape line should be pulled immediately. Do not make any personal comments. You might want to contact your pastor. You want to try to maintain a normal schedule as possible. Do not want to talk to the media, and don't beat up on yourself too much. One of the number one problems is second guessing. And make sure, no doubt about it, you are going to have criticism. Good criticism and bad criticism. The officer needs an advantage. The advantage has to be you. I would like for you to go back to your police departments and set up an officer down dispatch support team. Should consist of 6 and 8 members. You need to plan for an officer being shot in the line of duty. And this needs to be made up only of dispatchers and dispatch supervisors. If an officer is shot and killed in the line of duty, no matter whether it's an accident or not, it takes the officer, the department, 5 years to recover. Between 4 and 5 years to recover. Another procedure, the dispatcher should dispatch someone to the officer's house that was deceased 2 months up until 2 months past the funeral. The officer needs an advantage. We need for you to set up a dispatch support team that will keep the dispatchers informed on what's going on, because if an officer is killed in the line of duty, sometimes the police department forgets about you, the dispatcher. The officer support team will coordinate arrangements of the funeral. We'll determine who is going to make the final call procedure. One of the hardest things that I had to do, other than putting out the officer needed help and that the officer was deceased, was doing the final call. On the table back there, I put out a final call procedure that I developed. I have a card on the table that will tell you, give you my email. I will tell you what that final call procedure is. I had a class like this 2 days later. I received a call from a dispatcher in South Dakota and said, we need that procedure. We have an officer down. We must never forget. This is how final call is done. It should be done by the most senior of dispatchers, and it should be only done by a dispatcher that's respected by the entire department. It should only be done by a supervisor in rare occasions. The grunts, the dispatchers, us, we need to be the one to do the last call. It's the final call. It is customary at a funeral now that every dispatcher get up and go around and they touch the casket. If you mail me or email me, I will send you all of these procedures. As you will hear in a few minutes, what Final Call does. Every department needs to have this procedure in place today. You need to have contact with the largest church in your city. You need to have contact with the car wash. You need to have contact with the bank. You need to go ahead and set up an account right now and leave the name blank. Not if an officer is going to be killed in the line of duty, but when. You need to contact floral shops.
The following roll call, August 11, 2003, at 10:06 hours, Lancaster, 110 Charlie.
110 Charlie 5, 114 Boy. It is an honor to know you and a privilege to work with you. Godspeed. And we need to watch out for Christine.
110 Lincoln.
110 Lincoln by 114 Boy. Steve, we got the handle on everything down here. You rest in peace.
110 Lincoln Adam.
110 Lincoln Adam 2. 114 Boy. Steve, RFP. You're courageous. You've been a good friend.
110 Team Lincoln.
110
Team Lincoln. 110
Team Lincoln.
The last thing that's done at every funeral should be taps. 14 notes. And Scottish bagpipes. Done as a sign of mourning to let the gods know that a fallen hero is on his way to heaven. Every dispatch center needs a final call. Every dispatch center needs a support team. The support team. And you need to know where the funeral director and where the funeral list of restaurant, lists of cleaners, all of these are things that have to be done. The officer needs an advantage. All of the dispatchers here need to know that there is a sash procedure. The tape that you wear over your badge is not called a piece of black tape. It's called a sash. There's a sash procedure. The sash should be worn until, the sash should be worn from the time that the officer has been killed until midnight on the 14th day after the funeral. If the officer is from another department, they should be worn until midnight the day of the funeral. If the officer is from out of town, he or she should wear the sash until after the funeral. The officer needs an advantage. It is also now customary for the police car to be draped in flowers. Instead of bringing the flowers in, it is now customary for the police officers to do that. The officer needs an advantage. There are two heroes when it comes to police departments. One of them wears hardware. The other one wears headsets. My time is getting close, so I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. This was printed in Arizona. I modified it with my thoughts. Someone once asked me if I thought answering a telephone for a living was a calling or profession, and I said it is a calling, and so is dispatching. I have found in my law enforcement career that dispatchers are the unsung heroes of public safety. Dispatchers must miss the excitement of riding in a speeding car with the lights flashing and the sirens wailing. Dispatchers can only hear the bright orange flames leaping from a burning building. Dispatchers don't get a chance to see the joy on the face of worried parents as the child starts breathing again after the director has, or the dispatcher or the paramedic has administered CPR. Dispatchers sit in darkened rooms looking at computers and talking to voices from places that they will never see. It's like reading a book, dispatching. Reading a book in the dark. Dispatchers connect the anxious conversation of a terrified victim, an angry informant, a suicidal caller, and a grumpy police officers. Dispatchers are the calming influence of them all, the quiet in the night, the competent voice in the night that provides the pillar from the bridges of sanity and safety. Dispatchers are expected to gather information from highly agitated people who can't remember where they live, what their name are, or what they even just saw. Dispatchers, they are the calm person in the night. Dispatchers are expected to be able to do five things at one time and to do them all well. Dispatchers question a frantic caller. They must put another caller on hold while they're typing in information into the computer, tip off another dispatcher, put another individual on hold, and listen to an officer as he complains regarding a 1028 or 29 that he has not received. To miss the license plate that the officer is requesting might cause the officer his life. But the officer may not never understand it. Dispatchers have two constant companions, other dispatchers in stress. They depend on one and ignore the other. Dispatchers are chastised by upset callers, taken for granted by the public, criticized by grumpy officers. The rewards of dispatching are inexpensive and infrequent, except for the satisfaction that we have when we go down to our cars at the end of the shift. Dispatchers come in all sizes, shapes, races, and colors. Dispatchers are quiet, outgoing, married, plain, beautiful, handsome, no two are alike, yet we are all the same. Dispatchers are people who are selected in a difficult hiring process to do an impossible job. Dispatchers are as different as snowflakes, but we have one thing in common. We care about people and we enjoy being the lifeline of society, the calm voice in the night, the calm voice in the storm, the dispatcher, the person that knows how to handle everything with style and grace and with uncompromised competency. If only you wore a cape, people would call you Superman. Dispatchers play many roles. They are therapists, doctors, lawyers, teachers, weathermen, guidance counselors, psychiatrists, priests, secretaries, supervisors, politicians, and reporters. Again, if only you wore a cape. Few people can jump through the emotional hoops of a dispatcher and go from one birthday party back to a burglary in progress, going to a car being parked in the driveway, and back to the birthday party all within 5 minutes. The emotional roller coaster comes to an end at the end of a 12 or 8-hour shift, and we're expected to walk down to our cars with no queasiness in our feet because we are dispatchers. If we hold it in, we're too closed. If we talk about it, we're whiners. If it bothers us, it adds to the stress. If it doesn't, we question ourselves why. Dispatchers are expected to have the compassion of Mother Teresa, the wisdom of Solomon, the interviewing skills of Oprah Winfrey, the gentleness of Florence Nightingale, the patience of Job, the voice of Barbara Streisand, the knowledge of Einstein, the answers of Ann Landers, the humor of David Letterman, the investigative skills of Sergeant Joe Friday, the looks of Melanie Griffith, the faith of Billy Graham, the energy of Charo, and the endurance of the Energizer Bunny. It is no wonder that many people drop out of this particular job. This is a unique and talented person that can do this job. And it is fitting here today that you are honored for what you do. It is fitting every day that you are honored for what you do. Because you are heroes. And I'm glad to say that I'm one of you. You are heroes. A hero and a headset.
There's a hero if you look inside your heart. You don't have to be afraid of what you are.
Nor do you have to be ashamed.
There's an answer if you reach into your soul. And the sorrow that you know will melt away. And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry. mischief is a sign, and you know you can't survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you. It's a long road, and you face the world alone. No one reaches out ahead for you to hold. Oh, oh, oh. You can find love, you can search within.
Presentation. We have shirts for sale. And I will let you know about those in a minute. My name is Robert Graham. And I am a dispatcher. Thank you very much.